With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and the Moose with you. Hour number two on this Friday morning. We've got your Championship Sunday selections coming up later on the program. Brian Baldinger, analyst, NFL Network, will join us later on the program as well, Taz. As we do have 1v1 poll results, we gave you our selections yesterday. It came down to really Mahomes and Drew Brees after going through the 1v1 saga of the AFC NFC championship games. We come up with the two last quarterbacks standing from our perspective, and that was Mahomes and Brees. Let's get some poll results, shall we?
Well, that's a social media update. Wow, that was seamless. We didn't even rehearse that. How good was that? All right, so at Taz and Moose on Twitter, 1v1, best of the best. Here we go. We got Pat Mahomes versus Drew Brees. There's 18 minutes left to vote as we are live right now. Right now, my friend Moose, Drew Brees is winning 55% to Pat Mahomes, 45%. 45 to 55.
So, and polling is closed.
Excuse me?
Polling's closed.
No, 18 minutes left.
Technically, 18 minutes left on the poll, but it would take one hell of a comeback at this point.
Yeah, right?
Mahomes is going to win.
No, Drew Brees. Look, this again, you know, this is like the veteran versus. So a lot of people are veteran. They are leaning. Like we had this caller before. You know, a lot of people are going to lean towards the veteran. You know, I got to say, I mean, we were talking about this in the last segment, Moose, and you know, young versus old. You know, in both these games, as far as the QB, I hate to say old, but, you know, veteran versus younger guy. In Goff with the Rams and Brees with the Saints and Brady with the Patriots and, you know, Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs. I think, you know, in the Super Bowl, like you just hit on, I think, earlier, it'd be awesome to see the two young quarterbacks go at it, the two younger teams go at it, you know, in the Chiefs versus the Rams. And like you said, it was an awesome game when we saw it during the year, but I think that'd be great. Bottom line, I think we all could agree, man, that Patrick Mahomes is not good for the NFL. He's great for the NFL for today, for today's NFL. You know what I mean? So he's must-see TV. And if he's in, you know, as obviously when you watch the Super Bowl, you know, a lot of times you got a plethora of casual fans watching.
Yep.
People are like, oh, football's on the Super Bowl. Yes. And they don't watch the rest of the year, okay? And most people listen to us aren't like that. So they're hardcore, you know, football fans. So the casual fan gets to see this guy, Pat Mahomes, if he makes it to the Super Bowl and beats the Patriots, and gets to see him do these unconventional things at quarterback. You don't have to know much about football to see what he's doing. It's like kind of like, wow, this guy's unbelievable. He's fun to watch. So I think you gotta hope, if you're the NFL, the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. Just Pat Mahomes in general. I just think that he is not good for football, excellent for football right now.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I think when we look at our 1v1 polling results, it's certainly the top two contenders for MVP in the National Football League in the regular season in Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes. And I disagree with our those that voted. And you know, I get it's a little bit different, but it's kind of one and the same. If I'm going to look at a singular matchup between the two players, Mahomes is a better player right now than Drew Brees. And I don't think this is going to come down to and be a similar vote when it comes to the MVP, because I think you're going to flip it. I think Mahomes will be one and Brees will be two when you look at MVP of the National Football League. To play on everything that you just mentioned that we both talked about a number of times over the course of the regular season with Patrick Mahomes, and no one's denying that Drew Brees didn't have a renaissance year at 39, now 40 years of age. He was brilliant all season long. But if you're going to look at a singular game and say, I'm going to take Brees in a big-time matchup against Mahomes, I can understand that.
Right.
But this is not going to resemble, to me, the MVP vote, because the MVP vote's going to go Patrick Mahomes' way.
Absolutely. And maybe people voting on all polls, you know, I think a lot of people, and not just the people who voted here, but I think football fans, now not casual fans, football fans in general, you know, I do think they're more comfortable with the names of a Drew Brees, the names of a Tom Brady, these guys that are veterans that have flourished in the postseason, you know what I mean? Where Patrick Mahomes, this is his second year, right? He didn't start last year. You know, Alex Smith started for the Chiefs, and no one even remembers who that guy was.
Yeah.
I'm being sarcastic, right. But you get my drift.
I mean, Mahomes started the last game of the season last year in the regular season.
True, that's true.
And then that was it. And then this year was given the job. Smith was traded away to the Washington Redskins. We know how his season ended. And Patrick Mahomes has been an absolute star from the word go from the first game of the year where he lit up the Los Angeles Chargers in L.A. on the road. And he never really looked back, Taz. So he's been unbelievable all season long. And you could go on and on and discussing what he brings to the table, how he's different, how he does it differently than everybody else. And I agree with you. I do think people are cozy with Drew Brees. I think people say, all right, one game, who do I trust when the pressure's on the most? Well, I'm going to trust the guy that I've seen it do more. Right. Drew Brees has done it more. He's been in those bigger games. You know, he is 40 years of age. We know how good that Saints team is at home. So they're going to say, well, even though Mahomes had an unbelievable regular season, I still trust Drew Brees more in the clutch. And I get that. I understand it. I do. And I can get where that's where you say, well, he's going to finish it off. And Mahomes going through all these experiences for the first time might struggle a little bit because not everybody, even as great as you may be, Taz, not everybody first go around, especially in the postseason, is as brilliant as they are in the regular season. Just ask Peyton Manning.
Right, right, right. No, it's true. I mean, and I think that comfortability, not just in the NFL, you know this, Moose, all the years you're covering sports, people get comfortable with the big names because these big names, and there's good reason to get comfortable with them because they've earned it, you know, and we've seen them flourish when the pressure's on, not just in the regular season, but in the post. So that's a huge thing for people. But right now, it's so cool. As a football fan, someone like Patrick Mahomes, you're getting to see him rapidly evolved. Let's just say this Sunday, he kicks ass, and he plays great, and they move on. They beat the Pats, and they move on to the Super Bowl. Okay, we're getting to see this young cat, you know, yeah, evolve. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm getting at. We're getting to see it happen. And then he'll be, I'm not going to predict this, he potentially will be, have that name power for years to come, like a Brady, like a Drew Brees, you know, like these great quarterbacks. You know, we're watching the beginnings of that. It's pretty cool, you know.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I think anytime you're witnessing greatness, it's very cool, especially at the beginning of it.
Yeah,
I don't think there's. I totally agree with that, and I think that's what makes these AFC and NFC championship games so intriguing on the whole, which we kicked off the program discussing a little bit. And focusing more in on the NFC Championship game, you've got, you've got matchups that we saw in the regular season. Two matchups that were very, very high scoring. One of them was 43-40 New England up in Foxborough over the Chiefs. The other one was 45-35 Saints at home against the Los Angeles Rams. The venue has changed in the AFC. The venue is the same in the NFC. You
right.
have old guard against new guard in coach
yeah.
in coach and in quarterback in New Orleans and the Rams. You have old guard against new guard in quarterback. And when you look at the Chiefs and the New England Patriots, certainly there are issues on both teams.
Yeah,
where you look at injuries for New Orleans, you look at the Rams and the struggle of Goff down the stretch and how their defense and secondary struggled in coverage. Kansas City, the defense, aside from last week against Indianapolis, has been a hindrance all season long, even as brilliant as their offense has been. And we look at New England, the big issue you have with them is not their game planning or not the fact that Tom Brady can't do it, Taz, is that they are a completely different team and has shown it this year on the road as compared to at home.
Yeah, and we said this earlier, going to Arrowhead is not going to be easy for Tom Brady and that offense playing there in Kansas City. And I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about that audience. That's a loud, outdoor, massive stadium, and those people love them, their Chiefs. I'm telling you, it's going to be
tough
going.
No, it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere, Taz, but I look at, and both of them are going to be great,
yeah.
And natural grass out in Kansas City, cold. You're going to take the weather conditions out of it, out of the conversation down in New Orleans, but If you asked for, if I asked you this question, you know, which weakness, I'll throw four weaknesses out there, one for each team. Which weakness do you think is the biggest factor in any of these games?
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Saints second, the Rams secondary.
Right.
Right? Saints defensive line with the Rankin injury.
Right.
Right? Patriots road woes or Chiefs defense?
I'm not going to say Chiefs defense because I believe in that D-line.
All right, so the Chiefs defense is off. So now you're down to three.
I'm not going to say road woes.
All right, so you think the Patriots will play well on Sunday? All right, so you're going to take that.
I think they'll play okay.
You don't think that's the biggest weakness. All right, so then we're down to two. The Rams secondary or the Saints defensive line with the Rankin injury?
I have to go probably Rams defensive line, even though I like Cam Jordan a lot and I think he's a stud. Saints defensive line. I apologize. I like Cam Jordan. He's a stud. We had him on the show.
Oh, he's been on a couple times.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. He's a hell of a player. I mean, for sure. No disrespect to him and his crew, to his posse, but yeah, I'd have to go. My concern would be that Saints defensive line.
You know, I'm going to go same game. I'm going to go other side. I'm going to go D-backs. Rams defensive backs. Hmm. I'm really concerned about their inability to cover, Taz, and going up against a Saint team that, even though they, besides Michael Thomas, they're not loaded at the wide receiver spot.
Right.
Got to remember, they added Dez Bryant. He suffered the ruptured Achilles. He was done. They added Brandon Marshall. He was with the team for, 2 weeks before they cut Brandon Marshall
right. Yep.
And got rid of him. Thomas is a stud. There's not a lot of else on that or in terms of recognizable names. I just get concerned about Marcus Peters this year. Love the personality, going back at it a little bit this week with Sean Payton and saying he doesn't think his team is done. He's going to have to play a lot better than he did in the regular season. I think it's close between those two, Saints defensive line, Rams secondary. But I would side with the Rams secondary being my biggest concern or the biggest Achilles heel.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, I get where you're going because – you know, we saw them add, right? They added several components to that Rams defensive secondary during the offseason.
No doubt.
That we were
Khalid Peters,
right? You know, but yet it hasn't really, you know, it's not what we thought it would be.
No, it's not what we thought it would be. Now they've got one game to rectify it. And Marcus Peters this week, when asked the question, you know, asked about his struggles, he goes, I don't think I'm paraphrasing here. We ain't done yet.
Yeah,
I don't think we're not done yet. And it was asked the same. Well, but what about your struggles? And he goes, we're not done yet.
Right, right.
And
right.
So he's probably going to be very, very motivated going into that game on Sunday. And I'm sure he would be. He's got to do a much better job than he did in the regular season. And I look at the experience of coaches too. I mean, Taz, Sean McVay's never been in an NFC Championship game as a head coach. Andy Reid has. Bill Belichick has. Sean Payton has. There's also something to be said at that as well, because when you're going through something as a head coach for the first time, realizing you're that close to getting your franchise to the Super Bowl, and it's so hard to get to this point, those guys at least have some experience to be able to lean on of been there, done that before.
You're right, and I do think that McVay, the head coach of the Rams, to your point, I do think he's I don't know how to word this. It's a feel I get the last several games, watching him on the sideline and seeing some of the struggles with passing that Goff has had, you know, that he's a little concerned. Like, he just, again, I'm just trying to read minds through the TV. I know it sounds crazy, right?
Well, but,
you know,
running the football all over the place.
Nonstop with C.J. Anderson and Gurley, and it's working, so what the hell, he might as well do it, you know, but... I'm not looking at it, but I think Goff had like 186 yards passing last week, right? So... it's just not really, you know.
No, it's not the same.
It's got to be better.
Miss Kupp.
That's a big deal. Kupp was a huge part of that offense. And that connection with him and Goff.
Well, that connection is very similar Edelman connection with Brady and the Patriots.
You think Edelman will wear his new T-shirts under his shoulder pads?
No, after the game when the Patriots are celebrating yet another trip to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
we'll be wearing it.
That's your prediction?
No.
You didn't just give it right. Right.
No, I
didn't. Nervous.
I did not give my prediction.
No,
but I did draw the Patriots out of the Dixie Cup. We're going on 10 months ago now.
Yes. Yeah.
After the Redskins' acquisition of Alex Smith.
That bit kind of died out because you were supposed to be a Pats fan all year, and then you went back to your lovely Redskins.
Yeah. Time for some hot cheese.
Hot cheese.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is Taz of the Moose. What do you want to ask you? A Saints D-line, Rams secondary, bigger concern for you when you look at this NFC Championship game on Sunday down in New Orleans? 855-212-4227. I think we've got 3 minutes left. You can hop online and vote in the 1v1 poll as well. Is that correct?
I think you might be right, bro.
I think it closes at 7:19 a.m. Eastern time.
Hold on. Before we go, let me just see if the things
4:19,
change.
Is it closed?
Hang on a second.
I'll tell you,
let me just see. I'm going to hit the refresh.
We did it. There was 18 minutes left.
It's actually, you're close. There's 4 minutes left.
4 minutes to go.
It's still 55% for Drew Brees, and Patrick Mahomes got 45%. There's several more votes, but it's still sitting Brees at 55.
So you got 4 minutes to go.
We
can call it. The results are in. The polling team feels
it's
confident.
It's 3 minutes and 40 seconds to go. Left in the poll.
No hanging Chad.
It's Taz. It's Moose. It's a Friday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, make sure to go out mortgage confidently. That's for you, Pete. One more win is all it takes for a ticket to Atlanta in Super Bowl 53, only on CBS. Arguably the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, leads the Patriots into Kansas City to face the Chiefs and their sensational young quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Coverage of the AFC Championship game presented by Intuit.
Yes.
TurboTax Live kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, only on CBS.
Yes.
Heller's in the building. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys.
Hello, Brad.
Hello. Hello.
He did the hello. He did the hello like, what's his? Newman. Not Newman. Hello. No, not Newman. From Seinfeld. Not Newman. Uncle. Who's the uncle? Help me.
Oh.
You know. Jerry's
Leo?
Uncle. Uncle Leo.
Yes.
Hello. That's how you did it.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
He did.
Hello. He did. Brad.
He did do
Brad
that.
Heller. Hello.
I was going
hello.
For the
hello.
Movie phone guy. Hello. That, welcome that, to movie
well,
phone.
Very
that's
nice.
Good point. You did
well
it like,
done.
It's a lot of hellos in Seinfeld. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Big in the 90s. Hello.
Big in the 90s. Yeah, we're all, you know, I mean, hello. Uncle Leo. He was always a little bit seedy looking, right? Don't you think so? You always seemed a little seedy.
Yeah, a little bit.
He was a little seedy. That was his gimmick, though.
Yeah, he would steal books from the bookstore. And
well, even with the ladies. Like, he always, there was one episode that was something involved with some females.
When do people stop referencing Seinfeld?
Never, bro. You know, it's the best.
Like,
that's a good question.
Like, for the next 30 years?
Forever.
They'll be referencing Seinfeld?
Hello. I think forever.
I think
it's like the Honeymooners, dude. I still love the Honeymooners.
Nobody besides you references the Honeymooners.
Well, you could be right. You're leaning
into. You don't
into
walk
the...
in. Well, you and Ackerman.
Ackerman's a honeymoon guy.
And John Minko.
Well, so's Pete. Pete the Body. He's also.
He's right.
He's a honeymoon guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
John Minko also.
John
well,
Minko.
He's 100. Yeah. So that like, makes sense.
Look John at your. Look at the company for you. You guys can go to a dinner party and talk honeymoon.
Yeah, I'm actually a lot younger than Alice. Younger than those guys.
Dinner will be at 4 p.m.
Zoom.
I'm a lot, I feel like, wow. Brad brings up a good point. Look at the company.
There does come a point where Ackerman's in his 40s.
40s. Looks like he's about 62, 63 years old.
I don't think so. I think he's late 40s.
Sure. I saw him with a walker. Oh, that was a different guy.
No, you did not. Did not see him with a walker.
I can ripple these guys. I don't see them throughout the day. You know what I mean?
No. Well, they're happy about that.
Even Heller. I don't see Heller. You know, I just see him here whenever Andrew's
well, there,
here.
But there does come a shelf life for everything.
Like yogurt. Greek yogurt.
Well, just like, there was a shelf life
bad.
For the Honeymooners.
No. I disagree because that's
there
legendary.
A shelf life.
Like Seinfeld 2.
How often do you reference MASH?
Never. I wasn't a MASH guy, though.
Oh, but MASH was a legendary show.
I agree, but I wasn't a MASH guy. I wasn't. I used to watch The White Shadow back in the day.
Did more people watch the season finale of MASH than Seinfeld? I believe MASH was the highest. I think MASH was the
I think you might be right about that. Yeah, I've heard something like that.
Series finale.
Yeah. I think so. Oh, this is exciting. This will bring you into a Friday. Here you go.
Well, people, there are people that get it. They're like, man, I love that theme song. That
yeah,
was great.
That's true. There's some people. That, there's millions of people that love MASH.
You're knocking a show that millions of people.
I'm not knocking. It's just I like Seinfeld better. I like The Odd Couple better back
like
then.
Seinfeld. I understand you
Greg's
like Seinfeld.
A little younger, though.
You and Bisseglia talk about it every morning. Now, listen, I like Seinfeld, but it does come a point where everyone that references on a day-in, day-out basis. It's like, okay, I get it.
But what I wonder, is it as big outside of the tri-state area? Was it as big, I should say? Because it was such a New York, you think so?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Do people binge watch it now like they would other shows like Friends or some of these others?
Bro, I ain't gonna lie to you. Okay, I went through the TV gimmick yesterday, like 7 p.m., and there was, you know, there's like a litany of Seinfelds, like almost like a marathon every night. And I almost put that on, but I wanted to watch The Islanders. Just beat the Devils, so I went to the Islands. But I almost was going to stay on the Seinfeld. But I'm just telling you how I think.
That's for me with Friends. Like, whatever episode's on, wherever it's at, because they'll have, like, three-hour blocks, and I'll just put it on.
When I first got married, my wife and I used to watch Friends all the time. I feel like Friends is something, if you're a male, you have to watch with a woman or girlfriend or wife.
Why?
That might sound chauvinistic. I'm sorry. But would you say, Mike, why?
Well, yeah.
That's just how I feel. I just feel like it's more of a feminine, it's a relationship show. It's about couples. It really is, Friends.
Really. Well, not really.
Yes, it is.
It's kind of if you watch it in depth.
Seinfeld's funny. Seinfeld's just funny. You can
so
watch that.
Friends
is funny.
Friends is sneaky
different.
Funny.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I used
Friends
to watch
is great.
It.
That's my top show.
I think great is, well, I'm not surprised. I think great is.
I think we should all start referencing Friends more.
No, get the hell out of here. Nobody even knows it. You can't.
I reference. Do it without even knowing.
Are Rachel and Ross back together?
Yeah,
there for you.
You can't even think of
I'll
stuff.
Be there
you
for
might, Brad,
you.
Because you're
so
a big
you
Friends
really
guy.
Watch it.
I don't get all Seinfeld references, but all Friends reference I could dish out anywhere.
No, yeah. Moose, I did watch it. I'm not kidding. I used to watch it every week with my wife, my
it's
brother-in-law and his
show.
Wife. Me and my wife, we used to watch it together.
You do not,
that's when people watch TV.
That's not being open-minded. You
Why?
Do not have to watch. You do not have to watch that with a woman to
well,
enjoy.
I
Friends.
Did. I need to watch it with my woman, and then I enjoyed it.
We were on a break.
That's
your
fantastic.
Lobster.
No.
Yeah, I don't think you could compare Seinfeld to Friends as far as fame.
No, usually it's one or the other. People, they're all in on Seinfeld or all in on Friends.
That's a good
you
point.
Don't find people that are both.
Hello. Hell of a point. That is a good point. But none of them
even though
match
they were back to back,
ties.
They? You know, they were
they went
same
back
night.
To back.
Yeah.
Right.
It was
right.
One of the
Alf
other.
Family
yeah.
Ties.
Alf.
Alf was another one. It was great.
That was my show.
Alf was awesome.
Was it really?
Alf.
It's a show about a guy with a hand up a puppet's rear end. I'm going to watch that.
Mr. Belvedere?
You surprised
him too.
You surprised
Mr. Belvedere.
He loves
Mr. Belvedere was a very good show.
I like Belvedere. Punky
yeah.
Brewster.
Punky Brewster was another good one.
12? Punky Brewster. Yeah. Who watches these? I remember these shows. And I used to
Who's
not
the
even
star
watch.
Of Punky Brewster?
I was training.
Soleil Moon Frye.
Yes!
I like her.
Oh, God. Pre-surgery
Sexy
or after surgery?
Yeah, Pete the Body. Sexy. Yeah, no, I think if you're talking Seinfeld, these other shows are not in the same world, bro.
No.
They're not.
No, we're just
they're
rattling
not.
Off, you know.
I know, but The Honeymooners, now that's older, obviously, but The Honeymooners.
Oh, legendary show.
It
I
did. It
the
set the tone for, like, King of Queens. Like, everything in King of Queens was set basically because what Jackie Gleason did with The Honeymooners.
Yeah, no.
Just about.
I don't disagree
no,
with
I know,
that.
I know.
But
yeah.
There's a shelf life for everything. There, if you go back 25 years ago, everyone was referencing The Honeymooners. There's nobody that really references that.
That's
anymore.
Not true. Because here's the thing.
Well, that is,
no, that's
that
what
is
you
true.
Say. Maybe in your house, Moose, but in my house, it's not like that. During New Year's, that marathon's on. My kid's 19 years old. And he's like, Dad, you know, when he's home from school, it's a we got to watch The Honeymooners. And we'll watch it till like 4 in the morning. I'm not kidding.
Hey,
he's a young kid. He watches it.
Okay. Ask your son, when he's on his college campus and they're at a party, does he go bang zoom?
Maybe he don't say that. I don't
does
know. No, I don't think he's
right.
saying. No, he doesn't.
Does he
no.
go, to the moon, Alice.
No,
to the moon.
No. I get what you're saying now about the show. I got it. But see, that's the cliche Honeymoon
right.
line.
If he did that in a
but there
party,
was so many other great
start
ones.
Walking away from him.
Right. No, they'd be like, what's this kid? No, but
then. But if he references a Seinfeld episode, people would be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let
true.
Me get a beer.
True. I get what you're saying. Yeah, let me get a right. beer while listening to Jerry Seinfeld. 19, 20 years old in college. Brad Heller. Well, Brad Heller.
You know what I'm saying.
I do.
I understand. And I listen, The Honeymoon was great. I loved growing up. I used to watch it a lot.
Of course.
No doubt. Channel 11 locally here in New York used to run it all the time at 11 o'clock every night.
Yeah. still on. Not regularly on 11
not
o'clock.
Not regularly.
But Seinfeld's got the... But I'm serious. Like, if you're out there, you're not from the tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and you watch Seinfeld, you're down with it. Call the show. I'm curious. 855-212-4227. Be nice to hear from our audience, Moose.
Yeah, I agree with
you. You know what I mean?
It was a massive hit.
It was.
Across the
country. And I was traveling the country then, but I wasn't asking people that. That was in my prime wrestling, you know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, just figured I'd point that out.
I'm curious why somebody not from this area wouldn't like it. It's brilliant.
I'll tell you why, okay?
To New York.
Because, right, very New York. It was shot in New York. It was a New York feel. All the actors were that had a New York vibe and feel to them. It was very, very New York. That's why. I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's why.
Series finale, MASH 83.
83, yeah, 150 million. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
That's amazing. Think about it.
Well, they wouldn't. That wouldn't happen.
How many people watch the series finale of Seinfeld?
Just people in New York State, I believe. No.
I don't know.
I don't know if you'd get anything, but 100 people, 50 million people watch on TV today. Because back then, in 1983, there was no distractions of the internet and
it was five channels.
Right. Exactly. There was no mobile devices. There was, you know what I mean?
Well, but
there was no Netflix.
Internet was there, but I mean. There was no...
In 1983, the internet was there?
No.
That's what you just said.
I said the internet was not there.
Oh, you said it was there. I'm like,
no,
bro,
in 1983, the internet was not there. Okay, but when Seinfeld, the internet did not explode to the level that it did now.
No, it did not.
There was no smartphones.
Seinfeld third.
What?
Seinfeld third of all time. Cheers second.
Cheers.
Oh, Cheers.
God. No!
And then Friends fourth.
Yeah. See, everyone used to say Norm when you walked in a bar. Nobody says that.
Nobody says that anymore. Right. That's your point about the shelf life.
Away.
Yeah,
you
I guess you're right about the shelf
goes
life.
Away.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
5-6 years, it goes away.
Well, Heller just wants to watch Punky Brewster.
Unless they bring it back,
Jim Heller.
Saved by the Bell. I'll take that too.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell.
That kid, Marquez, whatever his name is, he hosts one of those. Anything?
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
No, he's Mario Lopez.
Mario Lopez.
That's the guy.
Marquez?
Yeah, Marquez.
It's close. It's an M.
You put the two names together. It's fine.
Brad, if you ever notice, I'm bad with names.
Wait, what?
Rob Feller.
Take it away, Brad.
All right, guys.
Save it.
With Kawhi Leonard getting a night off of the Raptors, everyone figured Kyle Lowry would get the ball late in a tie game against the Suns. Instead, Pascal Siakam hit a layup at the buzzer. The final score, 111-109.
It just shows that, you know, they believe in what they see me, you know, they see every day and they see me work every day. And you know, it just feels good that they're able to trust me with the last shot of the game. And, you know, just all they can do is just build confidence. And I think, you know, that's kind of what I need.
The Raptors have won 8 straight at home. They're a half a game behind the Bucks for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. The Sixers and the Pacers are tied for third after Joel Embiid's big night in Indy.
Simmons to Embiid. Joel for 3 from out top. It's good! Like manna from heaven! Joel Embiid with a big 3 for the Sixers. He's got 22, his second trade.
Tom McGinnis, 76ers Radio. Embiid finished with 22, also 13 rebounds, 8 assists. 120-96 the final. The Sixers have won 7 out of 9. Jimmy Butler led the way with 27. 32 points for Kyle Kuzma. The Lakers went into Oklahoma City and beat the Thunder in overtime, 138-128. The Nuggets demolished the Bulls at home, 135-105. In London, a goaltending call with 0.4 seconds left on Alonzo Trier ended up being the difference. The Wizards edged the Knicks 101-100. College basketball, Gonzaga's won 8 straight, 73-55 over Loyola Marymount. Michigan State, 19 straight Big Ten wins, 70-64 at Nebraska. From baseball, the Angels and closer Cody Allen have reportedly agreed on a 1-year deal. Adam Ottavino to the Yankees, reportedly 3 years and $27 million. From the NFL, chief safety Eric Berry on track to play in the AFC Championship game. He sat out the win over the Colts because of a heel injury, but he's practiced the last 2 days. The Seahawks give former first-round pick Paxton Lynch a futures deal, which secures his rights for next season. Russell Wilson was the only quarterback on Seattle's roster. From the NHL, the Ducks snap a 12-game losing streak. They shut out the Wild 3-0, and the Lightning's 9-game home winning streak is over, a 4-2 loss to Toronto. Guys?
Well, we appreciate it, Brad. Thanks so much. We posed a question, folks out there, Moose, if they're familiar with Seinfeld across the United States, besides the tri-state area, 855-212-4227. We have, let's go out to San Diego, beautiful San Diego. Eric, listening on 97.3 FM. Eric, what's up? You're on with Taz and the Moose. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, Eric?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's good, going buddy? On?
So I'm calling in regards to the Seinfeld, and if it's popular than anywhere else other than the tri-state area. And I'm just letting you know, out here in San Diego, we absolutely loved that show when it was on during the season, and we still love that show when it's being played right now on reruns.
Really?
Nice.
Very popular
there you go.
Show out here.
That's great to know. Now, Eric, quick question. Do you have any ties to New York? Have you ever lived in New York or New Jersey?
I have family. I got a lot of family in Connecticut, but nowhere in New York.
Interesting. Interesting. Did they turn you on to the show?
No, no, not at all. That show has been popular when it was came on.
And they still running reruns there in the 619, huh?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Still running reruns all the time. Actually, I got a funny story about the Seinfeld. I was out there in New York with my ex-wife. I was out there in New York, and they were doing Seinfeld tours.
Yeah.
At one of the places.
So
they had Seinfeld tours.
Yeah.
And they portrayed, and they took you to places that they portrayed in the show. And I was talking to the guy about the tour, and I was asking if it's popular or not. And he said, no, it's not that popular. I said, why? Yeah. And he said, well, they shoot the show in L.A. And they only portraying these places out here in New York. And New Yorkers aren't really into false.
Right, fake stuff. Right, fabrication,
yeah,
as we call it here
in
New York.
Yeah, fake stuff like that. And so no one really went to that tour, so naturally I skipped that tour and went to the Empire State Building instead.
But, all right, Eric.
So, yeah. Just,
yeah, all right.
So it's not, it has nothing to do with New York, really.
All right, Eric, we got you, brother. We appreciate your call, and thanks so much for sharing that information.
Yeah.
See that right there?
No.
Something, we just learned something.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know if it was hilarious, but it was informative. That's the
key. He said it was a funny story.
Oh, he said, the story.
Yeah.
Well, he makes a good point, because that's right. We didn't mention that earlier. They did shoot Seinfeld out in L.A. That's a good point.
They did.
Yeah,
correct. Yeah, you could go see the diner, though. It's in New York City.
Yeah. Is that Midtown? Where is that diner?
I forget
where
it is.
Monk's Diner,
exactly.
Right? I think it is.
Upper West Side.
Upper West Side? Oh, that's the high rent district up there.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 is your number to call. We'll get back to the AFC and NFC championship games. Remember, Brian Baldinger, our NFL Network analyst, will join us a little later on the program. We've got the three coming your way at the top of the hour as well. It's Taz, it's Moose, and on a Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
I mean, once the Super Bowl's over, like, is this music going to go away? I mean, does it have to go away? Does it? I mean, I guess
it
does,
away.
Right? It has to,
it
right?
It doesn't make sense if we're coming out there talking about the NBA.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a disconnect. Yes. I think you might be right about that.
Well, we can load it up on your smartphone. You can listen to it all morning long.
Yeah. Well, maybe I could bring it to the Taz Show, my awesome wrestling podcast.
You could do that as well.
That's actually not a bad idea. Right now, it's loaded with Limp Bizkit songs. Going back
We've had eight different, and some are not yet official, obviously, because you have the Patriots and the Rams are still alive, right? So you've had Kingsbury Rosen in Arizona, Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, Vic Fangio, Case Keenum in Denver, Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, Adam Gase and Sam Darnold with the Jets, Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston down in Tampa Bay. Of the coaching hires that we have seen, and Bleacher Report did a nice job with this, but of the coaching hirings that we have seen here so far, and that's not counting Flores and who's ever going to be the quarterback down in Miami, and eventually Zach Taylor and the Red Rifle out there in Cincinnati and Andy Dalton. But of the coaching hirings so far, Taz, boom bust potential.
Mm.
Who do you think ends up being the most successful? Who do you think ends up being the biggest bust?
I think the boom is Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield, because we've seen this movie here this past season. I think it works great. I think him, Kitchens, getting the head coaching job, getting offered that job, a big part of that is the success of Baker Mayfield, that they want to keep Baker happy. And also, the Browns didn't want to see Kitchens end up somewhere else as a head coach. So they had the best of both worlds, and they got their QB happy. They got they had an OC that's now a head coach that he's happy. So I think that's the boom. And before I get into my bust, who's your boom?
I would probably agree with that because we've seen it already. Because of all of them, and we saw Baker Mayfield succeed in a Freddie Kitchens coached offense when he took over for the fire Todd Haley. We've seen that before, Taz, and we saw it this past year. So we know in the brief history there is success. So you're going to probably bank on that will in some way continue, right, even with Kitchens being the head coach, because it's still going to be his offense. And the two obviously have a very good relationship, and that was part of the reason why he got the job in Cleveland.
Yeah, agreed. My bust would be, so I'm thinking this through, my friend Moose. Matt LaFleur and Rodgers in Green Bay. I think so. And I think a lot of it is because Aaron Rodgers, you know, the veteran he is and the great, great, amazing player he is, arguably the best or whatever you want to call him, he's ultra successful and ultra awesome as a QB, as we all know.
Yes.
I do think that there's, I hate to pass judgment, but that's what I do. I'm a radio host. And I think he's got a pretty large ego, and that's kind of been evident in some of the things he said and called out his teammates and kind of how he is when the, you know, quarterback coach got, you know, taken out of place there and Jordy Nelson got put to Oakland. You know, he was pissed and he was open about it, and he kind of wants all his stuff that he wants for him. He's all over TV nonstop with TV commercials, so that doesn't mean he has an ego, but there's a good chance he does. So he's a household name. He's a big name star where you're like, okay, who's Matt LaFleur? So Matt LaFleur is a younger guy, a younger head coach, smart, great football mind, offensive mind, the whole nine. I think it's going to be tough for LaFleur to kind of get through or whatever change he wants to make. I hope Aaron Rodgers buys in.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Yes, sir.
And I don't disagree with the inexperience of LaFleur anyway, but can Aaron Rodgers make up for a lot of that? He didn't get along, and he didn't have an atrocious year this year individually. The Packers didn't win.
Right.
But they didn't win for a lot of different reasons. It wasn't just all on Aaron Rodgers. And McCarthy ends up getting fired, but yeah, we know that they've had issues, that relationship, and, you know, him changing plays and rolling his eyes when a play call comes in. Do they have to have the best relationship? I'll put it this way. Can Aaron Rodgers overcome a lot?
He can.
With his ability?
Yes. For his physical ability, Aaron Rodgers can. But I feel he's going to have to buy in.
Okay.
Not that he has to be subservient to LaFleur, but LaFleur is his boss. That's his head coach.
Oh, no, it is. So it's a case you're looking at more so not just performance, but you're talking about relationship.
Relationship, okay, which is important, as you know,
right,
with head coach and quarterback. That's because, look, it took time for McCarthy and Rodgers to have the heat they have with each other. That just happened.
Sometimes everything does, you know, wear off, right?
Like you said, shelf life with Seinfeld.
Yes.
You know, the honeymoon.
A shelf life.
Same thing.
Right.
So anyway, the honeymoon ends. That's all.
And that's fair. If I were to look at one of those so far that is the biggest bust, I'm going to take Fangio and Keenum out of the equation because Keenum's limited. All right. So
yeah.
I mean, Vic Fangio is not going to be a miracle worker in Denver. So I take that out of the equation. Biggest bust potential? I mean, I guess it's Arians in Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston down with the Buccaneers.
Mm.
I mean, people are going to say, well, how do you not pick Kingsbury and Rosen? Well, I'm not going to say bust because I think a lot of people are expecting that to fail.
Yeah, they are.
I think a lot of people are ticked off that Kingsbury has that job. I think that people are dumbfounded about how does a guy who's never coached in the National Football League become a head coach in the NFL,
right,
after he just failed at Texas Tech and was the offensive coordinator for like 5 weeks at USC. How exactly does he become a head coach? So I think everyone's expecting for that to fail. I think everyone's expecting for Bruce Arians to turn Jameis Winston into a big-time player down in Tampa Bay. And I'm not doubting Arians as a head coach and a quarterback developer, Taz.
Right.
But he is 66 years of age. We had Carson Palmer in studio, and he basically said he'd love to see him back in the NFL. He's concerned about his health. Because that was an issue out in Arizona. Hopefully he's A-okay and ready to deal with it. He did get a physical. But Taz, it's one thing to get a physical after a year off, and then when you're back on the job.
What was he going to be training?
You're back on I'm talking about the stress, the lifestyle.
But he got a C now. He got the letter C.
Yeah, I know.
So he got a C without stress.
No, I get it. I don't think that's necessarily good, but he passed the physical enough.
I know, but not really. Yeah, he wasn't
He did pass the... Right.
You think he wore his Kango while he was wearing his boxes, probably taking the physical?
You hate when he does. He's got style. He got style.
You go, probably not.
Probably not. Probably not.
Sir, take the Kango off. You're in the boxes.
I don't know if he's going to physically be able to hold up. I think Winston's an error-prone quarterback. And I don't think that all of a sudden Bruce Arians is now going to. If I had a guess for one that's going to be the bust, because I think everyone expects Kingsbury to be a bust, I think that's pretty, an easy answer to throw out there. I'd probably say that it's Bruce Arians and James Winston.
Okay, I slightly disagree with you on the Kingsbury Rose and Cardinals thing. I understand Kingsbury has no NFL experience. I got that. I know that. A lot of people are shocked, because he got this gig, and all that jazz. I get it. But he does have a history of taking quarterbacks in their early stages of his career and doing good stuff with them. So
he does.
Not in
the
NFL,
but he gets that job. I'm not telling you that I'm rooting for him to fail.
I'm rooting
for Kingsbury to be successful, but I think a lot of people root for him to fail.
Yeah, I'm not. I hope he does well. I hope he does well. I really do. I have no dog in the fight with that thing there, but I hope Rosen. I kind of felt bad for that kid because of all these quarterbacks that came out of the draft with Rosen. These other guys all kind of had flourishing games or moments and times or whatever, where Rosen was like, his team sucked and he didn't do much. So now maybe with a young coach like Kingsbury coming in, things change. I know you're right, though. A lot of people don't think that's going to happen. I hope it does. I think that Kingsbury is going to do better than a lot of folks think. That's just my opinion.
I could see that. And I think a lot of people are looking at Adam Gase with the Jets after his introductory presser, and all that goes away. And the nonsense with the eyes has gone away here after 2-3 days.
Does it, though? Does it?
I think it goes away, yeah, as long as he wins.
Well, if he wins, yeah. But
if he loses, it doesn't. But if he wins, ultimately, that's really all that anybody cares about.
I know that.
You win games, there'll be Jet fans walking around with googly eyes and celebrating.
You're right.
And basically willing to fight you to the death if you make fun of their head coach. You know that, Taz.
I do know that.
It'll be the same people that right now are sending out tweets and pictures and can't get enough of Adam Gase's strange looks. But if he wins,
you're right about the eyes. Right. They'll be selling those eyeballs that fall out.
They'll be like
sunglasses.
Death pits at MetLife Stadium.
He's got beautiful eyes.
Stop making fun of my coach.
Why is it
slam down the beer? Enough.
Why is there no jocularity about Adam Gase has the gaze, the G-A-Z-E. Get it? Gazing eyes. There's no one saying this. I guess there's a reason why. I don't know. I find some humor in this, but I guess you don't. You have this look on your face like, wow.
What do you mean?
His name is G-A-S-E, and I'm saying G-A-Z-E.
No,
Adam
I got
Gase,
it. No, we did this the other day. You know what I mean?
I know, but I don't feel like caught on. Why?
Well, maybe there's a reason for that.
Well, you could have helped out a little with this joke. Buy in,
I did buy in. I laughed at the time.
Mike, you get me on this? Is it a bad joke?
Oh, no. I think it's wonderfully crafted. You're playing on the fact that his name is similar to what happened with his eyes. I think you're on to something. Best of luck.
Thank you. You replaced the Z with the S.
Right.
Pete,
I think it's revolutionary.
Well, very sarcastic answer. Love it, Pete.
It's a great answer, actually. Hey.
What would you like everyone to do?
I'm not going to say it no more. I thought it would have more legs, that joke. And it fell in its face for a couple of days now. No one's talking about it. Nowhere.
Why would anyone be talking about the joke about Adam Gase and Adam Gase?
I thought it was funny then. Now I'm starting to hate it. It was my joke. It sucked. Can't win them all, Moose.
No. No, you can't.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.